Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Unwatchables. Today, we are discussing Pixar's newest film, Luca.
Luca. Just your standard Italian fish-out-of-water story. And that's basically all there is to it. It is extremely simple. This is the most simple Pixar movie we will probably ever get. It is basically a Pixar short extended into an hour and a half runtime. And you know what? I'm all down for it. I'm down for it. I love it.
You know,
I love this movie.
You said it was a basic Italian fish out of water story. Is that... You say that as if there's other Italian fish out of water stories.
How would you know there aren't? Have you seen every single Italian movie out there? How do you know there are How do you know there are no other movies about an Italian sea monster who doesn't speak Italian, who speaks English with an Italian accent, going to an Italian village?
I am the Italian master. Mamma mia.
Mamma mia, the pasta, the mamma mia. And by the way, just quick warning, or not even a warning, just a promise, a pinky promise to you guys. We will try and keep our terrible Italian accents down to a minimum.
You know, it worries me that you just accidentally said down to a million.
Down to a million. Yes, we will be talking in Italian accents the entire time. Mamma mia, pasta, spaghetti. Baguette. Oh, that's French.
Lasagna.
Mastaccioli.
All right, so we need to talk about... I think the blaringly obvious thing about this movie is that it is considerably different from other Pixar movies in a way that we have dubbed the quote-unquote Pixar problem.
The Pixar problem. It's like the Pixar theory, but bad.
Well, not even necessarily...
Not even bad, just different.
Bad. Just... It's like, so up until now, most Pixar movies, excluding like two or three, are these crazy, like mind game changing, like deep stories about like deep things that no one ever expected to be deep. And it's like children's movies, just not really children's movies and super deep. So people have come to expect that from Pixar. Like, people go into Pixar thinking, how are they going to blow my mind today? Am I going to come out of this theater in an hour and a half bawling my eyes out? Who knows? And then we get to Luca, which is literally a movie about two kids who want to ride a Vespa, so they enter a pasta propaganda contest.
Yep.
And that's it.
The best way you can compare this movie... to other Pixar movies is, you know, you see this being thrown out a lot, how like grown-ups are like, oh, when I was younger I liked this movie, but now that I'm older and that I can understand it better, I love it. However, when you watch Luca, any age will enjoy it the same amount. When you're younger, you'll enjoy it. When you're older, you'll enjoy it. You won't appreciate it anymore because it doesn't have any deep themes or morals, you know. It's just a short film spread into an hour and a half runtime. It's not deep at all.
But you got to make sure you don't go into it with the wrong expectations, because I legit went into it. You did this too. We both went into it sort of expecting to not really be impressed or like it that much, because like, I mean, even like just like 6 months ago, we got Soul, which was crazily mind-blowing, and I love that movie a lot. Like, that's probably one of my favorite Pixar movies.
We were expecting to not love Onward, but we really like it as well.
Yeah, it's not quite like Luca, but it's not really like, again, it's not really mind-blowing.
It's not up, it's not Inside Out, it's not Ratatouille, it's not Soul, it's not WALL-E, it's not any of those movies that keep one-upping the standards for animated movies, which is why Pixar is so popular, because they always reach higher products every single time. And it's just satisfying that they can just take a step back, not a step back in quality, just a step back in scale, and our expectations can take a step back as well and just soak in this wholesome mess. It's not a mess, but it's a mess compared to other Pixar movies. We can enjoy this movie just for its wholesomeness, and it's just so simple, and I love it. I love Luca. I love Luca. There's pasta. It's Italian. What's not to love?
But yeah, the Pixar problem is sort of that you go into it expecting to like it less, and that hurts it a little bit just because it's not crazy and mind-blowing. So it doesn't seem like something special, so you're like, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. But it turns out well. It's nice to have a little break from having existential crises. Or is it crises? What's the plural of crisis?
Crises.
Existential crises.
Yeah, so this is a problem you can find with many franchises. I think the best example is Marvel. You know Marvel. It's you don't find masterpieces of cinema. You're not going to find The Godfather. You're not going to find The Godfather in a Marvel movie. However, they do have their quality. They do have their expectation of quality. We know what we're going to go, what we're going to get going into a Marvel movie. Sometimes we get really good Marvel movies, Infinity War, and sometimes we do not. But if we get a bad Marvel movie, I mean a really bad Marvel movie, it throws us off because Marvel is so consistently good. And it blows us away when we get an actual great Marvel movie because it's a superhero movie, you know? It's hard to mess up a superhero movie, and it's hard to make an amazing superhero movie because it's a superhero movie. There's not much to do, you know?
That's a sad problem with Marvel is I started to write off their movies, like, when I'm considering, like, my favorite movies or the best movies or whatever. I've started to write off Marvel movies just because, oh, they're superhero movies. And I have to remind myself that a lot of them are actually really, really good.
Yeah, like, I honestly...
You know, does that happen to you, too?
I would honestly call Guardians of the Galaxy my top 20 favorite movies, but...
That's not even the best Marvel movie.
I can rewatch it forever. It's just so good.
I watched it the other day. It is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's funny. But back to Pixar. Luca reminds me a little bit. I think the one... I don't know if you're going to agree with this, but I think the closest comparison to Luca from Pixar is Cars.
Really? I'm curious why you would say that.
I know that sounds weird, but like, if you forget the fact that they're cars for a sec, it's just a story about a pompous race car, or a pompous, let's just call him celebrity, because we're ignoring the fact that they're cars, who gets stuck in a small town and grows to love it or whatever. That's like the most classic story ever. So, like, have you ever seen the movie... Obviously, you've seen White Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Cars is weirdly similar to White Christmas, if you think about it.
What is wrong with you, stupido, is what I, Editor Connor, would like to say to my idiot past self, because Cars, not at all like White Christmas. White Christmas is a nice story about some guys, like, coming to a small town, like, to perform a show with some girls they've... little bit into, and meeting their army boss and like raising money for him. Nothing like Cars, but you go, old Connor. You go. You got this. Good job. Back to the episode.
Okay.
Did you think about it?
I'm trying to think about it.
I don't know. It's just really, it is really low key, and it reminds me a little bit of Luca. You know?
Yeah.
Or do you not know? Maybe I'm stupid.
I've never been a fan of Cars, a huge fan of Cars.
You don't like Cars?
I don't really like Cars too much. Wow. I think the mere concept is just, it just hurts. I tolerate White Christmas, but I really like Luca. And it just kind of annoys me that any Pixar movie that's not up to Pixar's standards, their really high standards, is automatically deemed bad. Like, you have Cars, which isn't a great movie. It's okay, but it's not up to the rest. It's not up to Pixar standards, so it's automatically deemed a bad movie. Then you have Incredibles 2, which is not as good as the first
one.
Wait.
I have to interrupt you. Who the heck deems Cars as a bad movie?
A lot of people.
People don't like Cars?
People really don't like Cars.
Cars is a fantastic movie. I just watched it like 2 nights ago.
There is a whole community of people whose one goal in life is to watch Cars burn. Then you have movies like Incredibles 2, which is not as good as the first one, but it's not a bad movie. It's a really good movie. But so many people deemed it a bad movie just because it's not as good as the first one, which in my opinion is the best superhero movie.
I can't get over the fact that people don't like Cars. Cars is one of the better Pixar movies.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, Luca just doesn't really feel Pixar, which I think makes it better almost than Incredibles 2, because it's just something different altogether. It's not, like, and Pixar's 2 is kind of a Pixar movie, but it's not close enough where Luca is just not a Pixar movie. I would, if you showed me that without the label Pixar, the only thing that would make me think it was Pixar was the animation.
Exactly. So I think, what did we like about this movie? We've talked about how it differs from other Pixar movies.
And how that could hurt its reputation.
And I feel like how it's different from other Pixar movies is why I love it so much. Mainly, it is so simple. And watching a movie like this is just like a breath of fresh air. It's like watching a Marvel movie that doesn't have any huge significance to the overarching plot, but it's
like
so
of the Galaxy.
Good that you like Guardians of the Galaxy. You just can't help but love it. You know, it's not detrimental to the Avengers war against Thanos or anything like that. It's just a superhero movie, and this is just an animated movie.
Well, actually, it's interesting, because Guardians of the Galaxy seems like it has nothing to do with Thanos, but it's like the fourth most Thanos movie in the whole MCU.
True.
It's kind of funny.
I don't know, I just find this movie to be one of the most wholesome animated movies I've ever seen. It's just so wholesome. It's just everyone's just so friendly, except that prepubescent
Hercule,
that 13-year-old mustache wielding a hole who
he's only 13.
No, he's like 20 or something.
I thought he was an adult man. He said he was 16. He lied.
What I'm saying is he has the mustache of a 13-year-old.
Oof. I can think of two more wholesome animated movies.
Name them.
Shrek and the Bee Movie.
You told me yesterday that you hate Shrek with a passion.
It's a joke, Jackie. It's a joke.
Okay, I know it's a joke. I know it's a joke.
Movies are wholesome. And Shrek is a terrible movie. It's a funny meme. Terrible movie.
I disagree. I think it's a great movie. However.
Well, we'll agree to disagree.
But it's just so wholesome. You know, the characters are just so likable. And you have such a underdeveloped villain. But I don't care because he's so annoying. He's just so nasty that just watching him lose in the end is just so satisfying. And then watching him be so mean to the main characters when you know that he's just going to get destroyed in the end is just so great. You know, he's not a complex villain. He's not a twist villain. He's not misunderstood. He's just an a-hole, and that's great. I love that.
It's so funny that the whole conflict of the movie is two kids who just happen to be sea monsters, and I guess there's also the conflict where the whole drama with them and each other and the sea monster thing, but the main conflict is just two little sea monster kids who want to ride around the world in a Vespa, so they enter a race bicycle contest that is basically pasta propaganda. And the villain is some 20-year-old guy who peaked in high school.
Like I said, you could make this into a short film. You could make this into a short film and get the same product. You don't even have to have dialogue. It could literally be a 12-minute short film, like let's say the opening montage of Up, just a montage of these events with some nice piano music over top, and you could get everything out of it. But the fact that they just wanted to extend the movie to an hour and a half just so we could get all this humor and all these fun character interactions and this beautiful animation, I just love it. It's such a breath of fresh air.
It's so funny because, like, why are they even sea monsters? They don't need to be sea monsters for the story. Like, yeah. It just adds, it's so entertaining because, like,
yeah.
It could just be this pasta thing, but they're just like, let's make them two sea monsters who aren't supposed to be on land and they want to explore, and then everyone hates them just so that they is a little, it's just so Like, it's so, what's the point? And that's why it's so just, like, fun to watch.
Yeah, one thing that I actually really appreciate is, and this plays into how simple this movie is, but it's how it really keeps this universe's rules in check. It follows them completely, you know? The rules are so simple.
It's not like there's that many rules.
If these monsters go on land, they turn to humans. And it's just that. You have sea monsters, they go on land, you just have the most simple rules possible, and it works. They don't need rules like, at 3 o'clock, at 3 a.m., they will turn into monsters unless they return back to the ocean, you know? Forever, they'll never be able to turn to humans again,
Well, there's two rules. Rule number one, don't get wet, you turn into sea monster. Rule number two, pasta.
Pasta. There must be pasta if it's an Italian movie.
Exactly.
But make sure you don't...
Because we eat the pasta.
But make sure you don't go cutting onions with a razor or something, because that would be terrible.
What?
That's just a good old Goodfellas reference, if you know what I mean.
Nope, don't get it.
Yeah, I just...
But yeah.
You may disagree, but I love that they didn't need to explore the underwater world that much. Like, it's underwater. We know what's underwater. The only thing that we don't know is that suddenly there are sea monsters. And it's really simple. Like, do you disagree with that, or...?
I do, yeah. Because that is one problem you just brought up. One of the few problems I actually do have with this movie. Like, they just sort of go back above land and then never go back. Like, I would have liked to spend, like, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes at the beginning of the movie just seeing what it's like. Maybe even him having to go down with the uncle for a little bit. The uncle being the weird, creepy guy that was hilarious and literally was the best part of the movie easily. Eat the whale, carcass.
Yeah, you have the creepy uncle played by Borat. There were just so many little things to like how the dad is missing an arm, but it's not because of a sea monster. You expect it to be because of a sea monster because he looks like, I don't know, he looks like a, what does he look like? He looks like a lumberjack. He's missing an arm.
Big buff macho sea monster fighter who presumably got attacked by a sea monster.
You see so much imagery around the village of people fighting sea monsters, and you're like, oh my gosh, he probably fought a sea monster. If he finds out these kids are sea monsters, he's going to kill them! But nope, he just lost his arm. He was just born like that. I love that. Also, the grandmother sea monster is so chill. She's just, like, smirking at her daughter's antics. It's just great.
And also, not just that grandmother sea monster, but also the part at the end when they finally accept the sea monsters or whatever. And then the two old ladies that were in the town just happened to be sea monsters.
Yeah.
Like the same old ladies that he was like yelling at, like, stupido earlier. And then they're just sea monsters the whole time. It's so funny. Like,
yeah.
It's just little bits of comedy like that that make this movie great, you know?
Yeah. And I just love how, like, the grandmother just doesn't give a crap. She's like, oh, yes, I come to the surface on Fridays to play cards, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah. She could not care less.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is like grandmas a lot in movies, you know? Grandmas are always chill.
Yeah. Especially, I don't know where I'm going with that. Yeah, they're always chill. But also, as you said, the creepy uncle played by Borat. Great. It would have been cool if he had to go down there for a bit, but then he ran away. Like, there was like this cool, scary scene, like from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, like the cave of insanity when there's all the creepy imagery. Like, if he could go down under the surface and he sees all this horrifying stuff, and then he just
like whale,
just
carcass.
Dips. He's just like, nope, I'm out of here, bye. And then he goes to the surface.
It's just so sad that there wasn't more exploration of this fun world that was underwater. Like, yeah. Make part of the movie, show more reasons why he wants to leave, show, like, why he's so lonely, and, like, he is kind of like Ariel from The Little Mermaid, by the way, I noticed, which is kind of funny to me. But, yeah. Like, explore more of his relationship with his family a little bit instead of, like, instantly making him just want to be gone and not seeing the world ever again for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, go down with the uncle, spend some time learning about the people that are there and why he doesn't like it and why he wants to be up so bad.
Yeah, because we're starting to go into the negatives a bit, let me just say the last two positives. Of course, there is pasta, 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 lots of pasta, lots of pasta.
Well, I feel like we've said that a lot of times already.
Yep, and also the other thing that I just absolutely loved is when Luca's parents were just pushing all the kids into the fountain. I just loved
it. It made me so uncomfortable.
I just loved it so much.
It made me so uncomfortable.
It just was so good.
These two grown people, like, also, why are these weird sea monsters so good at soccer?
I have no idea. They're Italian.
They don't even have legs normally.
Yeah. I just loved it. It was so good. But on to the negatives. Because now on to the negatives. Because anything we talk about, we have to criticize a bit. Because it's not fun if we don't.
Because that's why we're here.
Yep. So the first thing that we can both agree upon is that the ending seemed a bit too rushed. We feel that the villagers, the townspeople, they kind of accepted that these two kids are sea monsters way too quickly. It took them, like, what, 10 seconds? Like, I can get the dad, mustache man, like because he knows these kids, being fine with it. But I felt like there was the whole doubt scene missing. Like, immediately when they reveal themselves, like, this lady takes one of the hunting posters for the sea monsters and just tears it. It's just so rushed.
Yeah, it also would have been better for the dad's character a little bit if they showed that he was way more accepting right away. Because he really is, like, it's a sweet thing that he's got going with Alberto. Because, like, poor Alberto was stuck living on this island and his dad, like, frickin' abandoned him, you know? And no one knows who he is. And he's just been living there alone and he's super sad. And then he comes to this island and all of a sudden he's got this new father figure and he's just trying not to screw it up, and they find out he's a sea monster and he's like, dang it, I thought I finally had this thing. And then the dad could be like, no, I love you, Alberto, you are, I do not care that you are a sea monster, even though I hunted a sea monster. But instead everybody else is like, we do not care that you are the sea monster. So it doesn't show anything about the dad, you know?
Yeah, if it kind of feels like they had to keep it into the hour and a half runtime. Because the world would totally end if
a movie like that can't be any longer.
Yeah, it can't be on any longer. But the world would totally end if an animated movie reached 2 hours. The world would explode.
Well, I don't care about animated movies reaching 2 hours, but specifically that movie, I could not.
Yeah,
I don't think I would have even watched it if it was 2 hours long. I don't know why.
Yeah, so maybe we could have gotten.
Would have felt like a blockade.
So maybe we could have gotten a shortened version of the race, and then had like two minutes of conflict at the end. Possibly.
Speaking of the race, that was really funny. How he oiled up the guy to make him win, and then the fish started to attack him, and he was blatantly cheating the whole time, and no one was stopping him, and he still lost. And then he literally tried to harpoon a bunch of children. what is wrong with this
good.
Guy? Does he really want pasta that bad?
Yeah.
Just let the poor kids get their Vespa.
The only other negative I can think about is that it's sort of weird how quickly Mama Fish and Papa Fish are able to adapt to land. They're like, Luca, there's a scene of him like having a lot of trouble using his legs and walking. But these two guys, they just pop out of the water and they're like, humans are so disgusting. I mean, like, yeah, we know we're disgusting, but they're able to walk so easily. They're just like, okay, off to kick some kids into the fountains. Pasta, mamma mia.
And play the soccer very well. I'd say they were trying to, prod you in the direction of, they must have been here before and know that, and that's why they hate the world so much. Like, classic storyline, your mother was scarred by the, I don't know, whatever's up in the world, your mother and I. And you're not allowed to go up there ever again now because you're going to get harmed. But, they're like, we're humans! They've never done it before, so it doesn't make sense, you know? It's confusing.
Yeah, that's confusing. But yeah, one thing that's sort of expected from this type of Pixar movie is that it's not going to make any, it's not going to have any effect on, the box office. Is not gonna bring the numbers, and then when it just gets released to Disney Plus, it just makes me so sad because all the animators work, they spend so much time on this, but it just gets sent to Disney Plus, and we don't even get to see their beautiful animation on the big screen. It just breaks my heart.
it doesn't matter what sort of movie it is. Like, obviously, this movie, it doesn't really matter if you see it on the big screen or not. It's nothing crazy. I don't think I've ever seen a single Pixar movie on the big screen, to be honest. I'm trying to think.
I saw Toy Story 4 and Toy Story 3.
I didn't see that. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one on the big screen. No, I saw Cars 3.
Did you see Incredibles 2?
No.
Okay, I've seen Toy Story 3, Toy Story 4, and Incredibles 2.
They've never been quite worth it enough to me to go out of my way to go see it, you know?
Yeah.
Which I'm beginning to change my mind on, but I didn't really think much. I haven't really thought much of Pixar for a while until recently, like since we've done this podcast.
So, yeah.
Like I would have gone and seen Soul. I don't think I would have gone and seen this.
No, definitely not.
Simply because of the Pixar problem where I wouldn't have thought it was worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel so bad for the poor animators who poured their time and mind and body and soul into this. And then even though, like, with Soul last year, that was kind of understandable because movie theaters were completely closed. But, like, the movies are coming out now. Why are you, like, you could put it on Disney Plus and put it in the theater. Like, you're doing that with Black Widow. You did that with Mulan, which was a terrible movie. Like, why? I feel so bad for them because they deserve it. It's their work that they spent all this time on, and people are getting to see it for, at most, $6.
Yeah, I think Mulan was actually exclusively Disney Plus. It was like $30, and no one bought it.
Yeah, at least even put a paywall on it so that, like, I mean, I'm glad it was free because I get to watch it, but also, like, at least give it the respect of putting a paywall over top of it. It's the same with Soul.
And it's just going to make it disappear. It's just going to disappear. There was automatically going to be a lot of buzz around it because it was one of the first movies to come out since the pandemic.
Not only that, but it was a crazy deep, like, crazy deep experience, so people are going to remember it. But Luca, when people think of Pixar movies, it's just going to disappear into the deep now because it's, again, the Pixar problem. It doesn't seem like anything special. So, and there was no theater release, so no one's even going to be thinking about it for a long time. Like, I don't know. I just feel bad. But also, I'm happy that I got to watch it for free.
Yeah. I haven't seen the upcoming Pixar movie list in a while, but I know it seems that they're going to have more movies like this. They're not going to have any. Seems like they're not coming out with any more worldview changing things where we're going to be looking at ourselves differently. We're going to be appreciating the gift of life. We're going to respect aging or anything like that. We're just going to get more of these mini adventures, which I'm kind of down with it. As long as we can get more of those masterpieces.
That's really sad to me. I don't want this to become Pixar. It's a nice break, but Pixar is Pixar. And if this becomes Pixar, then they're the same as everybody else. No offense, Luca.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... I don't know. Do you have anything else?
Not really. There's not really much to talk about in this movie.
I know we had some discussion earlier about, like, how the drama between the three seems a little bit forced, but I think it's fine. And then, like, the ending takes a minute to wrap your head around, but then again, like, also it makes perfect sense. He sold his Vespa for his friend, and his friend went off to school, and he got to stay with his new dad, and they all just loved life. And the sea monsters lived in the town and underwater, and the uncle just chilled eating his whale carcass.
Exactly.
So, I guess that's it for Luca, and that's it for this podcast. Great Pixar movie. Not anything, like, hugely crazy or remarkable, but it's good. It's good to watch, fun to watch, and wholesome.
And if you enjoyed this video, make sure to like and subscribe and comment if you want to make fun of us, because if you disliked this video, we want to know why. Absolutely destroy us. Absolutely roast us.
And also check out the extended version of this conversation on our podcast and plenty other episodes. We've been making a podcast for over a year now. Either in the description, down below in the comments, or you could find it on Spotify under the same name, The Unwatchables. All right. Thank you for listening. Or so he's just saying listening because of a podcast. Thank you for watching. and
bye.
We'll see you next time. Actually, wait. What do you rate this movie out of 10?
Out of 17.
Out of 17. Well, yeah, we sort of rate things out of 17. It's a long story involving a deleted YouTube video. But yeah, what do you rate this movie out of 17?
15 out of 17.
I'm going to go 13.5.
Actually, no, 14 out of 17. 14 out of 17 and 13.5.
Just because, again, the Pixar problem. All right, that's it. There's our rating out of 17, and we will see you, I guess, probably in a week or so.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.